Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to The Numbers Don't Lie, the show where we get behind the he said, she said politicking for just a moment and look at the numbers, create some talking points, and maybe just suggest some probable outcomes of these upcoming national elections. I'm your host, Scott Peter Smith, and in studio today we have the ever-present data analyst, Paul Berkowitz, the director of EDGIS, and we're also joined by deputy editor of the Financial Mail, Sikonati Manchancha, and the recently appointed Business Day political editor, Genevieve Quintal. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Today we're talking about the Democratic Alliance, the for now official opposition to the ruling ANC. And I really have one question to ask, and that's whether the DA is still growing, which can be read as, you know, are they maintaining their relevancy? My gut tells me not. I mean, they've had a pretty horrendous news year, I would say, in terms of their infighting and what I consider to be weak leadership and maybe some splits as the former Cape Town mayor, Patricia de Lille, and her newly launched Good Party. I don't know if that'll leaving the party. I don't know if that will affect them on the polling stations or not. But Paul, maybe if you can bring us up to speed on the numbers beyond the DA, where they're at.
So I had a look at a slide just before we came in today, looking at some of the recent polls, the Institute for Race Relations, Afrobarometer. There's been one from the Center for Social Development in Africa. It's an outfit out of UJ, University of Johannesburg. And they're not all the same. That's the funny thing, isn't it? Okay, so when you account for, and maybe we'll go into the technical stuff, when you account for what might be discrepancies in methodology and things like that, the DA isn't really expected to grow. The most polls, when you adjust, and there are no polls that I can think of that have the DA at above 24%, and that's nationally, and that's under the most generous polling conditions and tailwinds of the bunch. It doesn't mean that we can't come up with scenarios where the DA shoots the lights out, but the best polls at the moment have the DA at, well, below 25%.
How have they been doing over the last couple of years?
So actually, I had a chat with someone in the DA a few weeks ago. And at that time, I think this was about 3 weeks ago, their internal polling was showing that they were going to get between 24 and 25% right. Nationally. That's what they say their internal polling is saying.
Yes.
The problem is if the DA under the leadership of Musi Maimane does not get at least 25%, I think he's in trouble.
Which actually comes onto my point. I want to ask that question, but I want to ask it a little bit later. I mean, I just want to put some context into why I think they're kind of losing relevancy, partly because, and whether they continue to grow. I mean, partly because South African problems, of course, didn't just start with the Zuma years. But if you've got the whole country almost collectively talking about his cut short term as 9 wasted years, you know, any opposition party should be flying. They should be literally riding this wave of discontent and increasing the seats all over the different spheres of government. I don't know. Is the DA missing a trick?
I don't see the DA is riding that wave. Certainly, it did for as long as Jacob Zuma lasted, and the ANC realized with Jacob Zuma in there at the Union Buildings another year, they're out of it. So they pulled the best card, Cyril Ramaphosa, and quite frankly, neither Musi Maimane nor anybody in that parliament or in the political parties, the EFF certainly, there's no match for him in the current environment. And Musi, poor him, he's going to shout and howl and sound even more hollow as he continues. But come this the election, Musi Maimane has got just a few weeks as leader of the Democratic Alliance, because yes, it may still remain the official opposition in parliament and certainly in Gauteng, but it will not be growing, and that means he's out of the leadership. Because in the past 25 years of democracy, he will have been the only leader of the Democratic Alliance that has not grown its support.
Mm-hmm.
And look, we've seen the DA the last few weeks. 2 weeks ago, they brought out Helen Ziller, who went to speak at a Ingekerk in Edenvale. And this week, she was here for one day. Tony Leon is here the whole week. I actually heard him on the radio this morning saying that the reason they've actually brought him out is because the DA is worried about its support here in Gauteng. And from what I understand, the DA is actually losing some of its conservative white Afrikaans vote to the Freedom Front Plus. Because they're not even sure, I guess, what's happening with their policies. And we have this infighting. Their infighting, I think, like Sikana was saying, Jacob Zuma was a dream for them. But literally, I think it was 2 days before the ANC's Nasrec conference started, the issues with Patricia de Lille came out. And they had been battling that now for those first 4 or 5 months, from December to early this year, while the ANC was cleaning up, getting rid of Jacob Zuma, New Dawn, Cyril coming in. And then from the Patricia de Lille matter, we then had the policy issues around BEE and Gwen and Gwenya stepping down. And so for them also, it's just been one hurdle after the other. And they haven't been able to come back from that, I think.
Well, it's I have to agree with Genevieve. If we look at the data, I guess that's why I jumped in. Firstly, on the subject of Freedom Front Plus support and new parties like the South Africa Capitalist Party, maybe even the ACDP, but Freedom Front Plus mostly. If you look at some of the by-elections where there are traditional DA strongholds, the DA normally holds those wards. But the by-election support for the Freedom Front Plus can go all the way up to 20 or 25%. It's almost like the same low-stakes phenomenon where the UKIP, where Nigel Farage's party wins seats in the European Parliament, but not so much support at home, where people feel they can have a punt maybe ideologically, they vote less strategically, the stakes are lower, the governance stakes. The second point, which speaks to what Sikonathi is saying, is that with Zuma out of the way, the research that has come out of the University of Johannesburg shows that there was a gender gap in 2017 between men and women in terms of likelihood to vote for the ANC, with women reportedly at much lower levels, significantly lower levels, and that gap was closed in the 2018 follow-up survey. So that Zuma window of opportunity is now gone.
And you would think Jacob Zuma was the ladies' man. But look, Musi Maimane, the fact is the DA has lost its most effective campaigner, as has the EFF, and that man was Jacob Zuma. Now the ANC pulled out Cyril Ramaphosa, and there's no match for him in Parliament. There's no match for him in all the opposition political parties, and certainly not in the ANC. They can't better it. And Musi Maimane, unfortunately, after the election, it is my humble opinion that he will be the former leader of the Democratic Alliance, because he will have been the only leader in Democratic South Africa to have failed to grow its support. Tony Leon took it all the way from 1.7%. Where is it now when Musi Maimane got it? 22%. So he'll be out. Anything less than 25% means Musi Maimane has failed as a leader, and I don't see why he should stay on.
I mean, outside of the weak leadership of Musi Maimane, I mean, I'm seeing almost like a, where's the ideological shift here a little bit? I mean, we don't want to talk about service delivery. That's more of a war municipal type thing. But on a national level, you know, when you're talking about the shift to or the eroding of the support base into the more at the right-ish type groups like the ZACP or the Freedom Front Plus, what sort of, you know, where is that support base slipping? Is it, I mean, I want to pull in like a little bit of a rural-urban scenario here just to bring in some numbers.
Like I said, I think it's your conservative Afrikaans vote, especially when they were having the discussions on BEE, and there was the fight about whether it should be racially based or not. And I think finally in the end, the DA did decide that you can't exclude race from the BEE discussion. And that's quite a shift from the more liberal side of the DA, the more conservative, of which I think the Tony Leons and that fell into in the past. And so these people are feeling, I don't want to vote for for the DA. You hear a lot of people saying the DA is becoming the ANC lights. And that for your Conservative Afrikaans vote, where do you go? Freedom Front Plus. But there are also now a hell of a lot more new political parties, which means there are more opposition parties. So the DA is fighting for those opposition votes. And that's also an issue for them. I guess like Paul said, we got the Capitalist Party. I'm not quite sure how well they're going to do and how much support they're going to pull in.
Well, you know, I hate to make predictions, but I would say we could definitely look at a scenario where they get a seat. And I think it's worth just highlighting again, back of the envelope, based on a turnout of 70% or a little bit more or a little bit less, that about 43,000-45,000 votes will guarantee you a seat. And because of the vagaries, you know, of very small parties wasting up to 5% of the vote, you could sneak in with maybe 30,000-35,000 votes. So if you can think of 30,000 or 35,000 people that will vote for the Purple Cow, their leader will get in. Maybe so, we could probably even come up with a scenario where there's two seats. But I think I'm gonna stop at one and not get greedy.
So is there a seat for the Purple Cow and for the Good Party?
On a national level, it's a good question. I think we might even speak about this next week, because the idea of, is the vote consolidating or splintering? We have a PR system, a proportional representation system, with quite a low threshold to get into power. You don't need a minimum percent. So there's going to be comings and goings.
I mean, my feeling about split vote, it probably doesn't really matter on a national level. I mean, we've got, you know, the DA saying, don't split your vote, vote for the DA, don't vote for these new parties coming to the fore. But on a national level, municipal level matters, but I mean, national level, not so much. You essentially want as much opposition as possible to the ruling party in order to, that's what parliament's for, in order to sort of make that balance. But I mean, are you really splitting the vote if they're losing some seats to these other parties? It doesn't really matter it matters for the DA, but it doesn't matter so much in terms of whether it's better for the country or not. So, I mean, the question I really want to ask is, you know, where does this? Are you okay, Virginia?
I'm not.
It's this.
The elections are making people sick.
I'm so sorry.
So
completely unscripted and unrehearsed.
Yeah. So my question I actually want to get into is, I don't know if you've got some numbers for us, Paul, around where the DA maybe, I know they're gunning hard for Gauteng, which makes sense to them, but that's more of an urban vote. So are we seeing differences in the urban and rural vote, especially in terms of where they're slipping? Or
we are seeing that there's a general urban-rural division. This is something we probably talked about, or other people smarter than me have talked about. If you look at a map of DA support, you know, the eastern part of the Eastern Cape, the southern part of KZN, outside of urban areas, not just the metros, but the kind of places, the geographical support for the DA and for the Freedom Front Plus, and for voters that are sometimes one thing and sometimes the other and are not strictly monogamous, because the numbers suggest that there are people who will vote more for the DA provincially than nationally if they think it can make a difference. And that's, you look at the Western Cape, if you look at 2014, there were some wards where the gap between the DA's national vote and their provincial vote was 5, even close to 10 percentage points. And some of that difference went to the Freedom Front Plus. What you might see, and I think this would be an interesting scenario for you, Sikonati, is what if the DA do very well provincially in Gauteng while treading water, or even going backwards nationally? Does Musi keep his job if, you know, he's around at the time that the DA have a firmer grip on Gauteng?
I'd love to see that happening. Definitely. Look, they've got a great candidate in Solim Simanga for Gauteng, except again the DA keeps shooting itself in both feet, because they removed Solim Simanga from Pretoria, from Tshwane, under dubious circumstances, and pretended they're actually promoting him to candidate of the province, when that is a blue lie, like the DA's colours. It's actually a blue lie. Helen Zille contested and won the premiership of the Western Cape when she was mayor of Cape Town, so there was absolutely no reason.
You don't think it was like a finessing of a difficult situation with the EFF in Tshwane? and maybe an attempt to fudge it so that they'd be happy within the coalition?
Definitely. Solim Simang's booting out of Tswane was an attempt to manage their entanglement with the AFF in Pretoria. Now, I repeat again, he's definitely a great candidate for Premier, but the DA has been shooting itself in both feet over the past, give it the past 7 years. That very managed process that brought Musi Maimane in as leader. Helen Zille decided who was going to be leader of the DA, and it was going to be a black person. They tried Lindiwe Mazibuko, and there was a big falling out there. Now they tried with Musi Maimane. He's turning out, in my considered opinion, to not be the best leader that the DA could have found. They could, for example, have taken Wilmot James, who would, in my humble opinion, again, would have done a much better job than Musi Maimane. So come the election, and let's say they do better in Gauteng than nationally, does that mean Musi Maimane keeps his job? Definitely not, in my opinion. You've got two great leaders in Gauteng in that way. Solim Simanga, as I said, and the mayor of Johannesburg, Herman Mashaba, whatever they would have done in Gauteng would be a reflection of the leadership of those two leaders in the metros that they are leading. And certainly the voters' view on Solim Simanga going forward. You have to judge Musi Maimane purely on the outcomes for the national ballot.
Who could bring out the DA from where they currently are? Is kind of the question. I mean, who's there?
So I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. Who would... The DA, like the ANC, is having its own factional problems. Mm. There are two different thoughts within the DA which are fighting against each other. So it would all depend on which faction won out in the end when it comes to if they remove Musi Maimane, as Siko says. And I agree with Siko, when they do, if he doesn't grow the party, he's definitely going. But then it all depends on which faction wins out, and then who do they put forward after that.
Don't you think that's a bit unfair, guys? Because I remember 2014, where the DA was a lot more vocal and a lot more specific about what they planned to get. They dropped this as the campaign went on, but there were even talks of 30%. Do you remember talking about what they'd got? So, I don't know, maybe to me... And this is what's nice, because for you, Sekonati, there's under every scenario, Musi must get the boot. I think I can construct very few where he actually gets to stay on and be the hero of the story in some way. But that kind of pressure wasn't really on Helen Zille, was it? When, well, they dropped the talk of hard numbers and predictions quite soon.
Because they soon realized what that was going, that was going to be a big problem for them. Who would take over? I don't know, but you have to look at the DA in the same way you look at the ANC. You've got two or three political parties in one. You've got the big national party support base. Let's call it what was that Afrikaans word? The Vryheidsfront group. Those hardened guys who are now looking to the Vryheidsfront for their for their future. So you may have if they are concerned mostly about that traditional support, they will go for Genevieve should know the people better, but there are people in the federal leadership that can appeal most to that. But I certainly don't see a prominent black leader, which is what they need. I don't see a more prominent black leader than Musi Maimane or Gwen Ngwenya. I don't know much about her support either, so it may well have to be that they must take on the Vryheidsfront to win back their support, and that means an old traditional conservative white candidate for leadership.
I don't think the situation is that bad, but again, so I'm bringing my own biases and scenarios. If we look at the numbers, the Freedom Front Plus has had about between 150 and 175,000 votes in the last 3-4 elections, compared to what the DA grew from about 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 million. Okay, and keeping in mind that you need about...
During all that time when the DA didn't have a black leader who's talking about BEE and race and everything.
True, but at the same time that the DA also grew, not necessarily organically, but absorbing the largest chunk of the Freedom Front Plus, a large chunk of the NNP, and then a large chunk of the ID to consolidate vote support among minorities. So maybe what is left is organic growth. I'm just saying, if you look historically, these were things you could say in mitigation. If I was the public defense attorney appointed to defend Musi against Sikonati's onslaught. But in all seriousness, if you look at the numbers, you're quite right, Sikonati. The DA has grown in every election in actual numbers, and not even if you sort of disaggregate between national, provincial, or municipal. Chronologically, the DA has grown every election, almost. In the last week, they got more in 2016 than in 2014, which is a high bar for Musi to get over. I mean, it's almost unheard of that an opposition party would increase in what, say, an off election, put it that way.
I put it to you that what they have done in the past 5-6 years, particularly their mistreatment of black leaders, Lindiwe Mazibuko, now Patricia Tilil, does not give any black person the confidence that there is room, proper room, in the Democratic Alliance for black leadership. It's not, whatever the fallouts were about, it certainly gives the impression that there's still no room in the Democratic Alliance for leadership unless they are aligned to the thinking, the conservative thinking of those people in charge today. And that is going to come and trip Musi Maimane in this election, and they will have to go find another black leader, which they will not find.
So essentially what we're saying is whether Musi keeps his job or not is reliant on low ANC voter turnout?
That's one way of looking at it.
If I want to cast the sort of data net as wide as possible and look at all the possible things that could boost the DA, and of course, according to Sikonati, Musi Maimane is not one of them. But let's be fair, you know, jokes aside, Ramaphosa polls better than Maimane.
So does Julius Malema.
Julius polls better than Maimane. We don't have a detailed breakdown on exit polls. So we don't have a breakdown by age or by race of who votes for whom. What we can do is we can overlay the results in a ward, and we can say, well, the ward looks like this, and maybe there's other wards that look like this. This one's slightly younger. This one is predominantly black African. This one is predominantly minorities. But we don't have a breakdown. So because we don't, and because there is a margin, there's a corridor of uncertainty, as they say in the cricket, the DA's growth could come from the youth vote, people who haven't voted before. We know less about them than we do about what you'd consider the DA or the ANC's base. They are probably most likely to go for the EFF, but could the DA pick up? Maybe.
I was just going to say Julius Malema has done more than Musi Maimane to attract those people.
100%, and you're quite right. But if we look at the DA's support among black voters, if we accept from the data what we know to be true, but the numbers confirm it, the Institute for Race Relations poll says that before now, and here's another problem, it's not just the Freedom Front Plus, it's obviously Cyril as well, that the ANC got 96% of its support from black voters, and that the EFF got 98% of its support, meaning that almost all minority support is going to the DA. We know that, and we know that that is in one sense the ceiling. The DA grew its support in traditional black areas in Soweto and Mamelodi, but not really more than, say, 10% of the total ward vote. So for the DA to do better than it's done historically, it just has to attract more than 10% of new voters. Even if, and I guess this is where we come down to guesswork and scenario planning, is in, you know, in your mind, do you think Julius is going to get 100% of the youth vote? Even if the EFF only captures 50 or 60% and the DA beats out the ANC and other parties, that's one scenario. I also don't think it's likely, but it's a scenario. The other one is if something truly terrible happens politically or economically or ecologically in the next 2 weeks, if we have load shedding from here on out, or if, you know, terrible internet pictures surface of Ramaphosa or something like that, and load turnout.
Guys, any quick closing comments around that?
I don't think it is escapes Paul, the young people, who the hollow man is.
Yeah.
Remember Musa Maimane making that speech confronting Jacob Zuma, the hollow man.
Hollow man, yeah.
I certainly watched and listened carefully. The man who sounded the most hollow was the one making the speech, not the intended target or victim of that speech. He has done absolutely nothing to show us that he is a real Musi Maimane from Soweto, a black guy who is there standing up for black interests. I do not think this equal opportunity and whatever, by the way, the Democratic Alliance has not agreed on what their stance is on BEE.
Mm.
It has not agreed, and they disagree publicly. Take that with their treatment of Patricia Tilil and Lindiwe Mazibuko, and again, I'm still stuck with the image that there's no room in the Democratic Alliance leadership for black people. Certainly, they want the black votes, and that, and they need them. But is Musi Maimane the person to deliver those? I submit not.
I don't think, I think Signas sort of touched on this, but I don't think that the DA is attractive to the youth.
Mm.
I don't get that sense about them. And even and maybe I'm not looking wide enough. I know they go on these car seat tours and they go inspect this and inspect that. But in terms of their campaigning, and correct me if I'm wrong, what campaigning have they actually done which targets the youth? They're doing town halls, which at 6 o'clock in the evening, I'm quite sure that a 20-something-year-old does not want to go sit in a town hall and listen to politicians. There was, and then it's like I said, the door to doors in the middle of the day. Who's at home? I understand there's a big population that is
unemployed. And they're not talking to the unemployed. It's Julius Malema that says, no. I will steal from the wealthy white people to give to you poor black people. The Democratic Alliance actually says, I will make sure the wealthy white people keep their stuff and hope that you also will get a job in the process.
I don't know if you saw that attack ad of the DA's that was quite similar to the This Is America.
There were scenes from it which almost looked Senator Daniel.
And I don't know if that was supposed to attract a younger audience. And they had these girls in the little uniforms and they were shouting hands up in the air, and they had a bit of a rap sequence in there or something. But is that enough? I don't know. Does an advert like that actually say to you, oh, yes, actually you're
don't
right.
Don't talk to me. I'm the wrong demographic.
The ANC is terrible. Look at the DA. Let's vote. I don't know. I don't.
Under this leadership, there is a huge deficit of ideas and what it is that the DA wants to do with the black vote. It will not grow purely by sticking with its conservative older white people. They will always find the Freedom Front, plus when there's a man who even hints at making BEE policy race-based policies. It is the black population that the DA needs to appeal to, and Musi Maimane has failed to do that after losing Jacob Zuma as his biggest campaigner. That is my submission. We can talk about this after the May 8th election.
One or two final ideas. Scraping the barrel, maybe casting the net properly wide. There may be phenomena like the shy DA voter. There may be a certain segment of the population that feels embarrassed to vote for the DA, or who feels angry, but because of other trends like negative partisanship on the day will show up and vote strategically. That will vote not because of passion, not because of a strong positive attraction to Musi Maimane and or the party, but because there's a fear of the ANC and or the EFF. Again, my personal view, I'm in agreement with you guys that the EFF has done the most to attract the youth vote and that the DA is not exciting.
Okay, well, that's about all we have time for. Some fierce views coming out here today, but that's great. That's why we're here. Hopefully, someone from the DA will listen,
and tell us where we got it wrong.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll find out soon enough after these elections, because as we know, the numbers don't lie. Thanks everyone for listening, and thanks to Paul Sikonati and Genevieve for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today. You'll find the podcast on Times Live or your favorite podcast app, and cheers, see you next time.
You've been listening to Final Take, a multimedia live production from the Tissot Blackstock Group, publishers of the Sunday Times, Business Day, and Financial Mail.